ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ गुड् वेल्कम् बेक् We are just at the very end of chapter 18. We may or may not finish the text today. I'm not sure if finishing makes me happy or sad. Maybe both. Anyway, we have some nice verses to see today at the end of chapter 18. We'll begin with some recitation with verse 69. Na cha tasman manushyeshu. Kashchan me priya krittamaha, kashchan me priya bhavita nacha me tasmad, bhavita nacha anya priyataro bhuvi, anya priyataro adhyeshyate cha yahimam, adhyeshyate cha dharmyam samvaram avayoho, dharmyam Jnana yajnena tenaham, jnana yajnena. Ishtasyamiti me matihi, ishtasyamiti me. Shraddhavananasu yascha, shraddhavananasu. Shunuyarapi yo naraha, shunuyarapi ha. Sopi mukta shubha lokan, sopi mukta shubha. Prapnuyat punya karmanam, prapnuyat punya. Kachare tachutam partha, kachare tachutam. Twayaika grena chetasa, twayaika grena. Kachara jnana sammohaha. Kachyaragnyanasam pranashtaste dhananjaya, pranashtaste dhananjaya. Arjanuvacha, nashto moha smritir labdhva, masto labdha, right. Twat prasadan maya chuta, twat prasadan maya. Sthitos migata sandeha, sthitos migata san. Karishye vachanam tava, karishye vachanam. Sanjayo vacha, sanjayo. Hityaham vasudevasya, hityaham vasudevasya. Parthasya cha mahatmanaha, parthasya cha mahatmanaha. Samvaramimamashrausham, samvaramimamashra, adbhutam roma harshanam, adbhutam roma, vyasa prasadat shutavan, vyasa prasadat etad guhyamaham param, etad guhyamaham. Yogam yogeshwarat krishnat, yogam yoge. Sakshat katayata swayam, sakshat katayata. Rajan samsmritya samsmritya, rajan samsmritya. Samvaramimam adbhutam, samvaramimam adbhutam. Keshavarjunayoh punyam, hrishyami cha muhur muhuhu, hrishyami cha muhur. Tatcha samsmritya samsmritya, tatcha samsmritya sa. Rupamatyadbhutam harehe, rupamatyadbhutam. Vismayo me mahan rajan, vismayo me. Hrishyami cha punah punah, hrishyami cha punah. Yatra yogeshwara krishno, yatra yogeshwara. Yatra partho dhanur dharaha, yatra partho dhanur, yatra shrir vishayo bhutir, tatra shrir vishayo dhruvani tir matir mama, dhruvani tir matir mama. Which is the last verse of chapter 18. We have several verses to see before that. Let us go back. Yeah, we had finished verse 70. We start today with 71. So Sri Krishna is speaking his final words to Arjuna. Remember, Sri Krishna's final teaching was over. That was the Charama Shloka, verse 66, right? Sarva Dharman Paratyajya. We spent quite a bit of time talking about it. So with verse 66, Sri Krishna's spiritual instruction to Arjuna comes to an end, and then he speaks a little bit further, wrapping up this very important dialogue. So in that context, he, in verse 71, is praising. Actually, then this is a subtle verse. He is praising the Bhagavad Gita in a particular way. And I'll give you the bottom line, then we'll see the verse. The bottom line is, even if you listen and don't understand, you're still blessed by listening to the Bhagavad Gita. Let's see the verse. It's verse 71. Shraddha bhananasuyascha. Shraddha bhanan shrinuyarapi yo naraha shrinuyarapi sopi mukta shubhan lokan sopi mukta subhan prapnuyat punya karmanam pun yaha naraha, whatever person, some person who is shraddhavan, who has shraddha. That's a key word, by the way, in this verse. Someone who has shraddha, who has faith, who has conviction, who has devotion. So that person who has shraddha, who is also anasuyaha, free from any negative thoughts towards the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita or towards Sri Krishna, means that a person who listens with an open and pure heart, let us say. One who listens with an open and pure heart, shrunuyat, one who listens, shrunuyat api. We could translate that as saying, by merely listening. Shrunuyat api, that api, has several meanings. In this case, let us take it as api. Even by the mere listening to this Bhagavad Gita, by one who has shraddha, faith, devotion, and who is anasuyaha, free from any negative thinking. What about that person? Saha api, even that person will become muktaha. That person will become free, muktaha. Now, not mukta in the sense of moksha. Because here we're talking about someone, Sri Krishna is referring to someone who merely listens but doesn't quite understand. But this person who merely listens becomes muktaha, freed from what? Shankara makes it clear in his commentary, freed from papa karma. To listen to the Bhagavad Gita, even without listening, is a great punya karma. It will bless you, just like doing puja will bless you, like saying prayers will bless you. If you say a prayer in Sanskrit without understanding the meaning fully and completely, will it still bless you? Absolutely. So if you listen to the Bhagavad Gita without understanding it completely, will it still bless you? Absolutely. So that person becomes muktaha, freed, according to Shankaracharya, freed from papa karma. And what about that person? That person, prapnuyat. That person would obtain what? Shubhan lokan, the pure holy worlds, which means when that person dies, that person will go to a Shubha Loka, a holy realm, some kind of heaven, which is Punya Karmanam, a kind of heaven which is reached by those who have Punya Karma. So as a result of the accumulation of Punya Karma, you go to heaven. That heaven is referred to here as Shubha Loka, those heavenly domains which are Punya Karmanam, which are the result of the accumulation of Punya Karma, one will achieve by the mere listening of the Bhagavad Gita, even if you don't have knowledge. Now, I think that's the interesting part. Even if you don't have knowledge, Sri Shankara, in his commentary, says, imagine if the Bhagavad Gita can bless you that much without understanding, imagine how much more it'll bless you if you actually understand it. Sri Shankara says exactly, makes exactly that point. So even without understanding, it's a great blessing. And if you understand it, how much more of a blessing it is. I have to share with you a delightful anecdote. This is way back in the 1980s. I remember traveling in Tamil Nadu with Pujya Swami Dayananda. And in fact, we were in Chennai. Back then it was called Madras, as you know. And he was giving a series of public lectures in some big hall. And yeah, I was accompanying him to that series of lectures. And every time I came, I think it went on for maybe a week or something, every time I entered the hall, and of course, you know, he would come after everyone was seated, and I would come kind of behind him and subtly go off and get my seat. But every time I came in and saw that the hall was full, I noticed that the back rows, it was a huge theater, the back two or three rows were full of all these elderly Tamilian ladies who I knew very well, they didn't know any English. Now, Pujya Swamiji was lecturing only in English. These ladies are coming and sitting in the back of the hall, and they're not going to understand hardly a single word he says because his lecture is only in English. They only understand Tamil. I remember I don't remember. I probably asked Pujya Swamiji, why are they coming? And his answer would have been the same here. By the mere listening. Even if you don't understand. By merely listening, they are blessed. And they came regularly. Every lecture, they're sitting there in back rows. The contingent. So this is the idea. If their mere listening without understanding blessed them when they heard Pujya Swami Dayananda speak, then Sri Krishna is making the same point here. To merely listen to the Bhagavad Gita, like listening to any Sanskrit prayer, you are blessed even if you don't understand it. And as Shankaracharya says, imagine if the mere listening without comprehension blesses you so much, imagine what the full understanding of what is being taught here. Imagine how transformative and powerful that would be. And that brings us to the last word spoken by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says to Arjuna, Kacchade tachutam partha, kacchade tachutam. Kachit is like introducing a question. Kachit. Is it so? Kachit. Is it so? Etat shutam partha, O Arjuna. Etat shutam twaya. We have to break apart those words. Twaya ekagrena. Twaya, by you, partha, O Arjuna, has etat this shutam been heard? Has this been heard, Tvaya, by you, Arjuna? Has it been heard by you, which with an ekagraya, ekagrena chetasa? Have you been listening with an ekagra chetas? Chetas means manas, mind. Ekagra, one-pointed. O Arjuna, have you been listening with a one-pointed mind? Or if Sri Krishna spoke American English, have you been paying attention? And that's what he's saying. Have you been paying attention? Have you been listening with a one-pointed mind? Kachat ajnana sammohaha pranashtaha te dhananjaya. Dhananjaya, o Arjuna, te ajnana sammohaha kachat introduces a question. Te, your ajnana sammoha, your sammoha, confusion due to ajnana, ignorance. Your confusion due to ignorance, kachit, has it been pranashtaha? Has it been destroyed? So first half, have you been paying attention? Second half, has your confusion, sammoha, which is born of ajnana, ignorance, has that been confused? This is a reference. Remember, this is Sri Krishna's last words. When did he begin? Well, he began his spiritual instruction back in chapter 2, verse 11, when he said to Arjuna, O Arjuna, you're grieving unnecessarily because of your confusion. So Arjuna was grieving. Just to set the stage, so to speak. Remember, Arjuna asked Sri Krishna to drive them out on the chariot onto the battlefield. Arjuna looks across and sees many of his beloved family members and friends among his enemies that he's about to enter into mortal combat with. And Arjuna is horribly upset. He is overwhelmed with grief. Why? Arjuna is wise enough to know that it is dharmic to fight this battle, and it is inevitable then that his friends and loved ones are going to perish on the battlefield. He understands that rationally, but he's still overcome by grief. Why? Because of ignorance. What kind of ignorance, and that's what the beginning teachings in chapter 2, that especially that verse 11 through 25, gives you some of the most profound teachings of Vedanta. Sri Krishna starts off his spiritual instruction with these very profound teachings, where he tells Arjuna, who are you grieving for? Because after all, it's their bodies that are going to fall dead on a battlefield, not their souls, not the essence of who they are. When someone dies, we don't grieve for their bodies. In fact, we grieve for ourselves, is the honest truth of it. This is not our topic for today, but our grief is our own sadness, our own loss. Yeah, we're really... it's our suffering, it's our struggle. Anyway, that's another topic entirely. But Arjuna has the wrong notion that his loved ones are going to perish on the battlefield, and Sri Krishna makes it very clear, hey, you're thinking wrongly. It's merely their bodies that are going to fall on the battlefield, but the essence of who they are will live on. But at the outset of chapter 2, Arjuna is not clear about that. Arjuna has ajnana, ignorance about that, and because of his ajnana, he has sammoha, confusion. How about bewilderment? That's a nice translation. He's overcome by his grief. Remember, he's having a nervous breakdown on the battlefield in the beginning of chapter 2. So this is sammoha, confusion and bewilderment, which is due to ajnana, ignorance, but a particular kind of ignorance. Ignorance about the true nature of each person. That particular kind of ignorance, which is a focal point of all of Vedanta. All of Vedanta is meant to remove that particular ignorance. So Sri Krishna has asked here. First he asks, have you been paying attention? Then he asks, has that particular kind of ignorance, which is at the root of all human suffering, has that ignorance been destroyed? After all, that's what Sri Krishna's 17 chapters of spiritual instruction was for what sake? To remove that particular ignorance, which is the cause for all human suffering. And that's what Vedanta is all about. So he asks Arjuna, has that particular ignorance been removed? Te ajnana sammoha, has your delusion due to ignorance pranashtaha, has it been removed? Dhananjaya, O Arjuna. And Arjuna vacha, nashto moha smritir labdha, nashto moha smritir labdha, twat prasadat. I'm sorry. Twat prasadan mayachuta. Twat prasadan mayach. Stithos migata sandeha. Stithos migata san. Karishye vachanam tava. Karishye vachanam. On a prior verse, I wrote a note here. I scribbled it down here. A reference to Shankara's commentary. Shankara makes a point in a prior verse. He says, if Arjuna has not been listening carefully, if Arjuna's confusion has not been completely removed, what will Sri Krishna have to do? Correct! He'll have to teach it all over again. Maybe using different words, different expressions, but Sri Krishna is committed, Sri Krishna is not committed to uttering 17 chapters of instruction. Sri Krishna's commitment is to removing Arjuna's suffering born of ignorance. So if Arjuna's response is, no, I didn't quite get it, then I guess we could have another 17 or 18 chapters further. But what is Arjuna's response? He says, nashtaha mohaha. This moha, that moha in a prior verse, some moha, same word. That confusion, that bewilderment, that delusion, which is due to ignorance, that confusion born of ignorance, Arjuna says, my confusion due to ignorance, moha, is nashtaha. It is destroyed. It is destroyed. Why? Twat prasadat. Breaking the words apart properly. Because of twat, your prasadat, because of your blessings. With your blessings, O Krishna, my delusion has been confused. Now, what are Sri Krishna's blessings? Is it that he says, O Arjuna, be blessed, sukham bhava, sukhi bhava, be blessed. Sri Krishna's blessings are in the form of all these teachings. So prasada, his blessing here means by means of his teachings. By means of Sri Krishna's teachings, Arjuna says, nashto mohaha. My delusion born of ignorance has been destroyed. Further, smritihi labdha. Smriti literally means memory. Labdha is gained. My memory is restored, but that doesn't make sense, right? So we have to consider the meaning a little bit more deeply. Arjuna was confused about what to do. Totally confused about what to do. So here the expression, and overwhelmed. Remember, he was trembling. He couldn't hold on to his bow. He was dizzy. Remember that passage? So here, smritihi labdha, literally his memory is restored. In English, we say he's come back to his senses. would be a very nice translation. His inner stability has been restored. It literally means his memory has been restored, but in casual English we say, oh, he came back to his senses. That's really the sense of what Sri Krishna means, of what Arjuna means to say here. So my delusion, my confusion has been destroyed. I have come back to my senses. Twat prasadat, due to your blessings. Maya, for me, by me. For me, my delusion has been destroyed and my senses have been restored. Achyuta, O Krishna, with your blessings, I'm okay now. If you were speaking American English, I'm okay now. He further says, Stitaha asmi. Previously, in the end of chapter 1, remember he fell to the seat of his chariot? Now he is stitaha, standing. Asmi stitaha, now I stand here before you. So at some point he got up from his seat, maybe at this point itself. So he stands up, stitaha asmi, I am now standing. I am standing how? Gata sandehaha, free from sandeha, confusion, doubt. I no longer am afflicted by doubt about what I am to do. So Sri Krishna, at the end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2, was extremely conflicted about what to do. Should he go forward into the battlefield and fight, or should he leave the battlefield? And in so many words, he had considered going, finding a cave up in Himalayas and living a meditative, contemplative life. And Arjuna was conflicted, which of these should I do? And remember several verses ago, in fact, verse 63, Sri Krishna said to Arjuna, yate chasi tata kuru, remember that verse? Yata ichasi, as you desire, tata kuru, go ahead and do that. Do whatever you want, Sri Krishna said to Arjuna before. Arjuna was conflicted at the beginning in chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2, but now by the end of chapter 18, Sri Krishna has so much confidence in Arjuna's understanding that Sri Krishna could have told Arjuna back in verse 63, he said to Arjuna, yate chasi tata kuru, do whatever you want. Now there's a little irony here. Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, do whatever you want. Now, Arjuna, being gata sandehaha, being freed from his prior conflict, what does Arjuna say? Sri Krishna says, do whatever you want. Arjuna says, karishye, I will do vachanam tava, whatever you say. You see the irony? Sri Krishna says, do whatever you want. Arjuna says, okay. What I want to do is follow your guidance. Brilliant. Arjuna, being gata sandeha, being freed from conflict, being freed from his confusion, his emotional turmoil, he can think clearly and he certainly recognizes that he can get no better guidance than what he can get from Sri Krishna. So therefore, karishye, I will do vachanam tava, whatever you say. And of course, Sri Krishna has already told him earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, get up and fight, get up and fight. So Arjuna here is saying, okay, I am ready to get up and fight. I'm ready to follow your instruction and proceed into battle. And with those words, the samvada, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna comes to an end with those words. And then we come back to the one who's been narrating all of this. This dialogue, remember the context, and you do, of course, and that is this dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna is being narrated to the blind king, Dhritarashtra, being narrated by whom? Sanjaya. Sanjayo vacha, Sanjaya. Hityaham vasudevasya, hityaham vasudevasya. Parthasya cha mahatmanaha, parthasya cha mahatmanaha. Samvaramimam ashrausham. Adbhutam roma harshanam, adbhutam roma. So, Sanjaya says, and if Sanjaya is speaking, who is he speaking to? The blind king, Dhritarashtra. He tells Dhritarashtra, he says, iti, thus, go to the third line, thus, imam samvaram, you have to reverse those two words, imam, this, samvaram, this dialogue, ashrausham, I heard, imam samvaram, this dialogue between whom? Vasudevasya, this dialogue between Vasudeva, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, is Vasudeva, this dialogue between Lord Krishna, Parthasya cha, dialogue between Sri Krishna and Partha, Arjuna. Arjuna, who is Mahatmanaha, Arjuna, who is a Mahatma, this great souled Arjuna, this great Arjuna. Thus, I heard iti, thus, aham, I, and that aham, I, has to be connected to ashrausham, the verb. Aham, ashrausham, I heard what? This samvaram, imam samvaram, this dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. And how did he hear? Well, remember the context of the story, and that is that the sage Vyasa had given Sanjaya this divya drishti, this power of divine sight. In fact, here Sanjaya says, I heard, but he didn't only hear. He also saw. So the idea is that Sanjaya, with Vyasa's blessings, received a special power to allow him to see and hear everything taking place on the battlefield, even though they were miles away. And using that power called Divya Drishti, divine sight, Divya Chakshus is a term you actually used in the Mahabharata. With this Divya Chakshus, with his divine sight, he was able to see and hear everything taking place, and that's what he's been narrating to Dhritarashtra through this whole 18 chapters. Sanjaya has been narrating everything based on what he received with his Divya Chakshus, his divine power of hearing and seeing everything. So, imam samvaram ashrausham. I heard imam, this samvaram, this dialogue. What kind of dialogue? Adbhutam, amazing. This absolutely amazing dialogue. How amazing? Roma harshanam. This is Kesha. This is Roma. Hair on your head is called Kesha. Hair on your skin is called Roma. Roma harshana. It stands up. When the hair on your skin stands up, you get that electrifying feeling. So this Roma harshanam adbhutam samvaram. This dialogue, which is in English, Roma harshanam sounds so nice. But in English, when you say hair-raising, it doesn't have the same, doesn't sound the same at all. A hair-raising experience. Roma harshanam somehow sounds much more elegant. Of course, the word samskritam means elegant, right? That's the literal meaning of the word samskritam, elegant. So there's a very elegant expression, Roma harshanam. Very exciting, this exciting, amazing dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, I have heard. He continues, Sanjaya says, Vyasa prasarachutavan, etad guhyamaham param, yogam yogeshwarat krishnat, Sakshat Katayata Swayam. Sakshat Katayata Swayam. He says, Shrutavan, I have heard. Shrutavan, I have heard all this. How? Vyasa Prasadat. We talked about that in a prior verse. Due to Vyasa's blessings, due to Vyasa's grace, Sanjaya received that power. Remember that story, by the way, very interesting, where the Rishi Vyasa first offered that power to Dhritarashtra. Do you remember that? We talked about this years ago when we introduced the text. So the story was that the battle was about to take place. Dhritarashtra, being blind, couldn't be on the battlefield. He wouldn't know anything going on. And Vyasa said to Dhritarashtra, you probably would like to see how your sons are doing out there on the battlefield. So let me give you this Divya Chakshus, this divine vision. Vyasa offered to give it to Dhritarashtra so that the king, the blind king, could see and hear everything happening to his sons on the battlefield. Dhritarashtra refused. And why did he refuse? He didn't want to watch his sons die. Cowardice. Absolute cowardice. Dhritarashtra is portrayed as a very weak and cowardly person throughout the Mahabharata. And what terrible consequences his weakness and cowardice caused. If he wasn't so weak and cowardly, he would have stood up to Duryodhana. And none of this would have happened. But because of his weakness and cowardly nature, so many tragic events took place. And evidence of that then is when Dhritarashtra refused the Divya Chakshus and asked Vyasa to give it to his charioteer, Sanjaya, instead. So Sanjaya, his charioteer, they're not going to be in a chariot, they're going to be hanging out, as we say, in the palace. So hanging out in the palace, and he asked Vyasa, give that power not to me, give that power to my charioteer, Sanjaya, so that Sanjaya could narrate to Dhritarashtra. And also, this is very crucial, if you're wondering why to Sanjaya, so that when things got a little bit too bloody on the battlefield, Dhritarashtra could say, stop, I don't want to hear that part. He could refuse that. He didn't want to see all that bloody stuff. Anyway, so evidence of Dhritarashtra's cowardice. So Vyasa Prasadat, due to Vyasa's blessings, upon Sanjaya, because of that, Sanjaya Shrutavan, he heard. What did he hear? That word aham in the second line. Etat guhyam aham. Aham has to join Shrutavan. Aham, I. Shrutavan, heard. What did I hear? Etat, this. This what? Guhyam, secret. What kind of secret? Param guhyam, the supreme secret. We've seen that expression several times. What is the supreme secret? It's that which, even if you're told, you don't get it. So the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita are a parama guhya, are supremely secret. Why are they supremely secret? Most people, having listened to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, it remains a secret. All right. So Sanjaya says, I heard what? Etat param guhyam. I heard this highest secret. Secret what? Secret yogam. Here, yoga used in a general sense of spiritual teaching. I heard this most secret yoga, this most secret spiritual teaching. And who did I hear it from? Who did Sanjaya hear it from? Yogeshwarat Krishnat. I heard it from Krishna. Krishna, who is called here Yogeshwara, the Lord of Yoga. And here yoga means spiritual teachings. So Sanjaya says, I heard, with Vyasa's blessings, I heard these most secret spiritual teachings, etat Param Guhyam Yogam, the secret spiritual teachings I heard from whom? Krishnat. Who is Krishna? Yogeshwarat. I heard from Sri Krishna, who is the Lord of Yoga, means what? The master of spiritual teachings. Yoga here means spiritual teachings. So Krishna, the Yogeshwara, the Lord of spiritual teachings. And Sanjaya concludes by saying, I heard Swayam. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I heard from Sri Krishna, I heard Sakshat directly. I heard from whom? Swayam. Krishna, Swayam. I heard from Krishna himself. Katayataha, as he said it. Katayataha, as Sri Krishna Swayam himself said it, I heard it sakshat. I heard it directly. Interesting. When Sri Krishna was speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield, there were two people hearing it directly, others hearing it indirectly. Who heard directly? Arjuna and Sanjaya. Who heard indirectly? Dhritarashtra and all of us. Because, or we could say Vyasa. Vyasa, actually that's a little bit more complicated, because in the mythology, Vyasa is considered omniscient. One could argue, this is a mythological perspective, you can accept it, you need not accept it, but according to the mythology, Vyasa was omniscient, which means Vyasa also heard directly, if you accept his omniscience, Vyasa also heard it. But one thing we know for sure is that Dhritarashtra got it secondhand, which is not bad, and we are also getting it secondhand, not bad. But Arjuna and Sanjaya got it sakshat, directly. Then, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya, Rajan samsmritya samvaramimam adbhutam, Keshavarjuna yah punyam, Hrishyami cha muhur muhuhu, Rajan, O King, samsmritya, remembering again and again, imam samvaram, this dialogue. What kind of dialogue? Adbhutam, this amazing dialogue. Remembering again and again. Now, this may or may not stand out in your minds. I mean, what remembering again and again sounds very much in the past tense. And we generally think that everything we're reading here in the Bhagavad Gita is taking place in the present tense. It's a little more complicated than that. The Mahabharata is a pretty complex text. And it's like when you watch a movie, you get flash forwards, you get flashbacks, you get all of this. The timeline gets twisted in good literature or in many movies. You get flash forwards and flashbacks. Well, that's also happening here. It turns out that Sanjaya is narrating this to Dhritarashtra on the 10th day of the battle. Huh? On the 10th day of the battle, yet this takes place before the battle began. Say what? That sounds contradictory. Sanjaya's narration takes place on the 10th day, but the Bhagavad Gita is set before the battle began. How can we reconcile this? This is the fancy literary devices of flash forward. Let me show you. It's too complex for me just to say. Remember that the Bhagavad Gita is an excerpt from Book 12, which is the Bhishma Parva. And it's in the Bhishma Parva where the war begins. And the Bhishma Parva actually recounts the battle until Bhishma is struck down. So Bhishma Parva, it's called Bhishma Parva because it's a section during which Bhishma is the general of the Kaurava forces. So this Bhishma Parva, it's huge, right? Tens of thousands of verses. And in those tens of thousands of verses, we get day 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down to day 10 of the battle. And it turns out that during that 10th day of battle, Dhritarashtra asks Sanjaya, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre. I don't know what he was doing. What was Dhritarashtra doing for the first 10 days? We don't know. But on the 10th day of battle, he is said to have asked, what's going on after 10 days have elapsed? Now, what makes it more confusing is that this is told during a flash forward, which occurs here at the beginning of the Bhishma Parva. So at the beginning of a Bhishma Parva is a flash forward to the 10th day of battle. And in that flash forward, Dhritarashtra asks Sanjaya what's happening on the battlefield. So yes, it's a little confusing and complicated, but that's the nature of the Bhagavad Gita. You can ignore all of this. It doesn't change anything. I'm giving you some of these details so you can understand this expression, samsmritya, remembering again and again. So remember, the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna took place when? The dialogue took place here, which means before, at the beginning of the first day of battle. The dialogue took place at the beginning of the first day of battle. But Sanjaya's narration to Dhritarashtra apparently took place on the 10th day of battle, which means Sanjaya's been thinking about this for 10 days. All of this to explain samsmritya, that Sanjaya has been thinking about this for these 10 days, and now, finally, Dhritarashtra is asking what happened on the battlefield. Anyway, just some of the details of the story of the Mahabharata. So, Rajan, O King, samsmritya, remembering again and again, imam adbhutam samvadam, this amazing dialogue. Dialogue between whom? Keshava Arjuna Yoho. This dialogue between Keshava, Sri Krishna, and Arjuna. This dialogue which is punyam, very sacred, very holy. So thinking about it again and again, samsmritya, he says, Sanjaya says, Hrishyami, I rejoice, I become excited, I am elated. Elated is a nice translation. I become elated, muhur muhuhu, again and again I become elated. Then, tatcha samsmritya sam, rupamatyadbhutam hare, Vismayo me mahan rajan. Hrishyami cha punah punah. Tatcha samsmritya. And remembering that dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, remembering that again and again, samsmritya, not only remembering the dialogue, but remembering the first word, tat, and then the second line, rupam. Remembering tat rupam, that form. Whose form? Harehe, of Hari, of Vishnu, referring to when Sri Krishna revealed his Vishwarupa, his cosmic form, in chapter 11. So Sanjaya saw all of that. So he says, not only do I recall the dialogue again and again, and I become excited, but also I recall again and again, Tat Rupam, that form. What kind of form? Adbhutam, that amazing form, Harehe, of Lord Vishnu. That amazing Vishwarupa, when Sri Krishna revealed his cosmic form. I remember that again and again. And Vismayaha Mahan me. For me, there is Mahan Vismayaha, great amazement. I am greatly amazed because remember when Arjuna saw that Vishwarupa, Arjuna was not only amazed, he actually was a little overwhelmed by that. And he ended up saying to Sri Krishna, please go back to the way you were before. I can't handle this. If you remember when we discussed this back in chapter 11, we said there's a fine line between awesome and awful. Remember that diet? So, interesting in English that these two words are connected like that. Awe. You understand what awe means. So if there is some awe, that's good. But if it's full of awe, it's too much. That's what the words mean. This is your language. This is English. So, that line got crossed for Arjuna. At the beginning, that Vishwarupa was just stunning and wonderful for Arjuna, but as he continued to observe, and particularly when he began to observe all these warriors being drawn into the many mouths of the cosmic form, and all these great warriors are being consumed by this Vishwarupa. That was extremely frightening for Arjuna. Not only Arjuna was witnessing this, who was simultaneously witnessing this was Sanjaya. And witnessing this, maybe Sanjaya had some benefit. He wasn't standing right there. I think Arjuna, standing right there, was absolutely overwhelmed by this experience. Sanjaya was witnessing from a distance. So maybe it was a little bit easier for Sanjaya. Maybe Sanjaya apparently wasn't overwhelmed by that experience, because he says, Mahan Vismayaha, great amazement, for me. This caused great amazement. He doesn't say I was overwhelmed and frightened as Arjuna was, but he does say I was absolutely amazed to see this cosmic form of Sri Krishna revealed on the battlefield, Rajan, O King, and as a result, Hrishyami cha punah 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 punah, again and again, Hrishyami, I rejoice. So, remembering the dialogue, the prior verse, remembering the dialogue again and again, I am excited. And in this verse, remembering that Vishwarupa again and again, I also become excited. Which means, 10 days after this all took place, Sanjaya is like reliving all of this and becoming thrilled as a result. Which brings us to the final verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno, Yatra Partho Dhanur Dharaha, Yatra Partho Dhanur, Tatra Shrir Vishayo Bhutir, Tatra Shrir Vishayo Dhruvani Tir Matir Mama, Dhruvani Tir Matir Mama. Yatra, yatra, where there is Krishnaha, wherever Krishna is. Who is Krishna? Yogeshwara, same word that was used before. The Lord of Yoga, and again, yoga in this context means what? Spiritual teachings. So wherever there is Krishna, the master of spiritual teachings, Sri Krishnam Jagad Gurum, that sense. Sri Krishna as the Jagad Guru, as the teacher of us all. So yatra, wherever there is Krishna, who is Yogeshwara, the teacher for us all, and yatra, wherever there is Partha, Arjuna, wherever Arjuna is. Arjuna, who is Dhanur Dharaha, Dhanush, he's holding on to the bow. Wherever there is the bow-wielding Arjuna, wherever there is Sri Krishna and Arjuna, tatra, there. I'll give you the meaning of the verse, and then we have to understand what's really being said here. Wherever Sri Krishna and Arjuna are, tatra, there, there you will find Shrihi, wealth, Vijayaha, victory, Bhutihi, fame, glory, Nitihi, order, righteousness, Dhruva Nitihi, eternal righteousness, unchanging righteousness. So wherever there is Sri Krishna and Arjuna, these are Sanjaya's words, right? Wherever you find Sri Krishna and Arjuna, there you will find Sri, wealth, Vijaya, victory, Bhuti, glory, Dhruva, Nitihi, eternal order, Matihi, Mama. This is my mama, my matihi, my feeling, my conclusion. Who is speaking? Sanjaya. So Sanjaya says, it is my conviction that wherever there is Arjuna and Krishna together, there you will find glory and victory and righteousness, niti. Now, what you understand the words, but what is the connection? We have to really get the big picture of the whole Mahabharata to answer this. What we're going to do. There's something so wonderful in this verse. I don't want to just sneak it in here at the end of this class. So what we'll do is we'll hold off on the full explanation of this verse until next week. So next week we'll come back and we'll see this very last verse of the Bhagavad Gita with a proper explanation. I don't want to rush it, and there's just a few minutes of class left. So it'll be nice also to come back to the last verse. Then let me give you a heads up, as we say, for what's coming next. So in fall, we're going to begin the study of other portions of the Mahabharata that deal with the teachings of Vedanta. So other Vedantic sections of the Mahabharata will start in fall. Between now and then, we have maybe 8 classes or so. What we plan to do, next week we'll finish this last part of chapter 18. One thing that would be really nice to learn is the Gita Dhyana. The Gita Dhyana is a series of, I think, 8 or 9 verses that are, it literally means meditation on the Bhagavad Gita. And they're very wonderful and prayerful verses that are usually recited before we begin study of the Bhagavad Gita. And many times, And different teachers do things differently. And some teachers will always recite the Gita Dhyana before beginning the study of Bhagavad Gita. Now, we've chosen not to do that so that we have time to recite 10 verses before each class. And the reason we're doing that is, I think to recite the Gita Dhyana again and again and again and again and again for years, maybe it loses its importance. So instead, we've been reciting the 10 verses from the Bhagavad Gita before we start each class. That really helps us learn the Gita better. That's why we do that here. On the other hand, this Gita Dhyanam, the verses are wonderful. They're really delightful. So we'll probably spend maybe 2 classes going through the Gita Dhyana. And your homework assignment, by the way, you can go to our website and print out a copy of the Gita Dhyana and have that ready for the next class. So in the next class, we'll finish chapter 18. And we'll begin our study of Gita Dhyana. It'll probably take at least one more class after that to complete our study of Gita Dhyana. Then we'll still have some time left. And in whatever time remaining, we're going to do a summary of the Bhagavad Gita. We'll see how many days we have, and we'll kind of divide up the Bhagavad Gita accordingly. And we will get the really big picture. We'll see some key verses, some special verses from each chapter. So it'll be nice, before we conclude our study of the Bhagavad Gita, to kind of do a review of the entire text, a summary of all 18 chapters. We'll go chapter by chapter, and we'll see some of the special verses in each chapter. So we have some really nice classes and conclude our study of the Bhagavad Gita with. Okay, couple quick announcements. Tomorrow, Sunday, we have our satsang at 6:15. It's question-answer format. We're also sitting outside on the nice warm summer evening, so come join us. It's delightful. Library will be open after class, and we'll close with our prayers.